In today's market, every lead is even more valuable. Sales Engine, the CRM for the reverse mortgage professional. Take your first step today by calling 1-800-805-9328 or emailing sales@reversefocus.com. Financial advisor fined for referring client to a reverse mortgage loan officer. Court ruling bolsters non-borrowing spouse issue. The Emerald City shines bright despite reverse mortgage downturn. And Connecticut is the latest state to add additional reverse mortgage requirements. You're listening to episode 514 for Monday, April 30th. Thank you so much for joining us. In our first story, it was a post on LinkedIn that many of you may have seen. It caused quite a stir for those of you that are in reverse mortgage related groups, or perhaps it was in your news feed. The story related the experience of one financial advisor who was fined by his company's compliance department. Why? Because he had the audacity to refer one of his clients to a reverse mortgage professional. Now, in the LinkedIn post, he was not named. However, it was financial advisor Zach Alchemis. Now, he's an advisor with Retirement Wealth Management Group, and he's been helping his clients for the last 28 years in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Now, he directed one of his clients to a local reverse mortgage specialist to see if it may, in fact, improve that particular individual's situation. And the specialist included Adams on a follow-up email, which triggered the compliance fine, and it contained a proposal for the reverse mortgage. Well, his company audited his email. Yes, they do check quite regularly, and it was flagged. He said, 2 weeks later, I received a letter from our compliance department. It was basically a slap on the hand, disciplinary action for discussing reverse mortgages with a client. Now, he contested a $350 fine, but had no satisfaction. He said, I will always talk to clients about reverse mortgages because I'm a fiduciary and a financial advisor. If I know of a product that helps my client and have a better retirement, I will talk to my clients about it. I answer to my clients. That's the right thing to do. The trick is that he also answers to the company who is supervising his business and also his emails. It's a challenge and a frustration for many in our industry who feel that the reverse mortgage is being blocked from at least being presented to potential clients. Weekly, we hear that the broker-dealer compliance officers forbid discussions on housing, wealth, and retirement, wrote Shelley Giordano with the Funding Longevity Task Force. Instead of formulating policies and procedures to ensure clients use their housing asset prudently, many broker-dealer compliance officers routinely insist on a total blackout on the issue. Despite increased acceptance in the financial planning community, this is one of the challenges we face today. And Reverse Mortgage Daily, in researching for this article, reached out to several financial institutions. Representatives from Raymond James, LPL Financial, and Lincoln Financial declined to comment altogether, while Ameriprise failed to respond. And our next story comes to us courtesy of an obscure law blog, and I found an article on Lexology.com. It shows a recent appeals court ruling that protects reverse mortgage lenders in the sticky situation where there is a non-borrowing spouse who's not named on the loan. Reverse mortgage lenders received a significant victory in Florida's 3rd District Court of Appeals, this just last week, in the decision of One West Bank FSB versus Palermo. Now, there was a previous ruling in Smith versus Reverse Mortgage Solutions and also Edwards versus Reverse Mortgage Solutions. It said that the surviving spouses of borrowers who had taken out a reverse also qualified as borrowers under the terms of the mortgage. Therefore, they contended that they had the right to remain in the property after the death of the spouse. The genesis of this case is when a lender brought a foreclosure action against Louisa Palermo, and they claimed that her deceased husband, Roberto, had taken out a reverse, and that his death, in fact, triggered the lender's right to accelerate the mortgage debt, calling it due and payable. They also argued that she agreed to the terms contained in the security instrument and in the riders executed by the borrower that were recorded. However, only Mr. Palermo actually signed the promissory note since he was the eligible borrower. The lower courts ruled in her favor despite the fact that she executed a non-borrower spouse ownership interest certification, in which she certified that, quote, should her spouse predecease her, and unless any other means of repayment was obtained, the home where she resided may need to be sold to repay the reverse mortgage debt incurred by her spouse, that being her husband, and that the home where she is residing may be required to be resold. Now, she agreed to those terms and understood that she may be required to move from her home. Yet the circuit court, the lower court, granted the judgment in favor of Mrs. Palermo, saying that one, she was not a borrower under the terms, but two, and this is the real crux of their case, that the federal law prohibited the lender from foreclosing on a property while she, the non-borrowing spouse, remained alive. Well, the lenders, no surprise, took this and appealed it. And the District Court of Appeals affirmed that the court's holding that Mrs. Palermo was not a borrower was correct. But they did reverse the judgment in favor of Ms. Palermo and rejected the argument that the federal law precluded foreclosure. The court also held that the federal law did not preclude the lender foreclosure, and the court first held that Mrs. Palermo had failed to raise at trial a defense that federal law precluded foreclosure, and thus the defense had been waived. The court also rejected the argument on its merits, finding that the federal law did not require Mrs. Palermo to be a borrower in order for the reverse mortgage to be insurable by the federal government. The Emerald City, otherwise known as Seattle, Washington, it shines despite the reverse mortgage downturn. And that was proven in recent stats from January and February HECM endorsements. In fact, the cities of Seattle and also Portland have outpaced the national trend with a 27.9% increase in year-over-year HECM volume. And that was also shown in January and February. Seattle increased more than 112% in loan volume to 87 loans during the two-month period. And Oregon has been on a boom as well, has increased nearly 107% during the same time. Now, there is still an anticipated drop mirroring the national averages for these hot spots, reports RMI, or Reverse Market Insights President John Lundy in his report to Reverse Mortgage Daily. And in our last story of this week, Connecticut is one of the latest states to add additional HECM requirements and protections. Lawmakers last week advanced a bill that would introduce additional requirements for reverse mortgage lenders in the state. In fact, last Tuesday, the state Senate unanimously passed Senate Bill 150. It prevents lenders from accepting an application for a reverse mortgage unless, one, they've explained the pre-loan counseling requirement, provided a list of approved HECM counselors from HUD, and also received a signed form that attests that the counseling process has been completed. The lenders are required to keep a copy of that letter for the duration of the loan. Now, if that is not followed, well, there are significant penalties. They would be in violation of the state's unfair or deceptive trade practices law, and they could see a cease and desist order, restitution, or penalties up to $5,000 for willful violations. The bill was bipartisan in nature. It was, in fact, introduced by Senator Douglas McCrory, a Democrat, and also State Senator Kevin Kelly, a Republican. Now it goes to the state's House of Representatives for further approval. Not surprisingly, many have criticized this bill as being redundant, since HUD does require HECM counseling as a condition of getting the loan. And that wraps up another episode of Reverse Focus Weekly, the nation's only weekly podcast for the reverse mortgage professional. Don't forget you can subscribe and listen to us on iTunes. Also, be sure to visit reversefocus.com for our live player. We have weekly video commentary and analysis at heckamworld.com. Be sure to visit there as well. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you here next week.